Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40 and read again from verse 27. Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What wonderful blessings are given to the people of God. God, says the Apostle Paul, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He gives the forgiveness of sins. He gives adoption. He gives sanctification. He gives grace to help in time of need. He gives heaven itself. And yet, even with these blessings, God's people still can become very despondent at times. They may feel that they are not blessed. They may even feel that God has forgotten them. And so the Lord asks this question to his people. He calls them Jacob and Israel, which certainly indicates that they are his people, his chosen. And he asks them, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? How the Lord reasons with his people. And he does that to deliver them from their spiritual depression. And he encourages them by stating the clear truth about himself. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. What a precious truth to bolster God's people. Now, we need to remember that we won't really benefit from these promises of increase of strength unless we are trusting in the Lord. And accordingly, our text says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Yes, we need the actual exercise of faith. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And then, waiting upon God, we will receive the promise of upholding power. The word power has a special ring in the ears of God's people. And it is his power that we should seek, and his promise that we should rest in. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So we have 4 points we would like to consider this Sabbath morning. First of all, it is the weariness of God's people. The weariness of God's people. They are sometimes faint, sometimes even to the point of despondency. Secondly, let us consider the wonder of God's power. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding and his power. He giveth power to the faint. Here is the wonder of God's power. In the third place, we will consider the waiting upon God with expectation. I've chosen these words carefully. The waiting upon God with expectation. And in the fourth place, the wings of God's grace to persevere. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The wings of God's grace to persevere, to press on. So we have these four points: the weariness of God's people, the wonder of God's power, the waiting upon God with expectation, and the wings of God's grace to persevere. The weariness, the wonder, the waiting, the wings. From weariness to wings. What precious encouragement is here for God's people? And indeed, this reasoning and this statement of God's attributes are to lift up God's people. And we need to be in Christ. These are blessings that are for those who are in Christ. We need to be in Him to receive these blessings. But if you are not converted, does that mean that we do not wish you to give careful attention to this part of God's Word? Not at all. These are blessings that you need, friend. And while you are hearing this sermon, say to yourself, I need these blessings. I need this strength too. And I can only have them in Christ. I can only have them for the sake of Christ who was crucified. And then rest assured that if you are waiting upon God, you too will be not only strengthened, you will be saved. So we have, first of all, the weariness of God's people. From verse 27, Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Yes, sometimes the Lord's people can feel very low in their souls. They may enter into experiences where they feel dejected and discouraged. Sometimes they feel that they have no might. The promise is to those who have no might. Verse 29, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Sometimes the Lord's people feel that they are so weak that they are at the point of fainting. One trial after another comes their way, and they wonder, how can they go on like this? They know what is required, but they stagger beneath the weight of the burdens they carry. And so they are downcast. They become sad at heart. They are weary. They are worn. They feel the heat of the day. They feel the fierceness of the battle. And they are longing for rest. And yes, sometimes they even give in to unbelief. Here God's people are saying, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Is that true? This is what they feel. And they are still God's people because they are saying, My way is hid from the Lord and my judgment is passed over from my God. They are still calling Him my God. They are acknowledging that they are His people and that He is their God. So they are not unbelievers, but sadly, very often, the believer may be unbelieving. And they are saying here, My way is hid from the Lord. Here, they feel that their course of life is not being seen. They If they don't say it with words, they feel it in their feelings, in their heart. God is not noticing their difficult circumstances. God is not taking into his favorable consideration that the child of God is suffering and weak and faint. And then there is, my judgment is passed over from my God. Here is a reference to a legal case, a judgment. And there is the waiting for the pronouncing of judgment, the verdict to be given. The child of God is waiting for God to declare the righteousness of the believer's cause. While the enemies are accusing, and it seems that these are circumstances in which the enemy is prevailing and overcoming God's people, and God is not taking up the righteous cause of God's people. They know that they have a right to be vindicated. They have a right to be declared that they are innocent, that they are the ones who receive the blessing. And it seems that this right is not being noticed. My judgment is passed over from my God. It's like the judgment or the declaration, the verdict that ought to be proclaimed. It's passing away from them. It's slipping and slipping and sliding away from them. My judgment is passed over from my God. Well, is that the case really? Is the judgment, the vindication really slipping away from God's people? Or is this not really practical unbelief? And they are not really laying to heart. God's people are not really trusting in those moments in which they are despondent and they are complaining. They are not really trusting in the Lord. There is not the active exercise of faith waiting upon God when they are saying, my way is hid from the Lord and my judgment is passed over from my God. Here is practical unbelief. It's a practical denial of God's omniscience. God knows everything. He can never forget his people. And here is a practical unbelief in regard to God's care for his people. Would God forget his people? Could he ever do that? And then there is the practical unbelief regarding God's omnipotence. He is almighty. But here the child of God, the weak, doubting, unbelieving believer is saying, my way is hid from the Lord. He is not working for me. And my judgment is passed over from my God. Like Jacob of old, why sayest thou, O Jacob, all these things are against me? There was Jacob, ready to think that everything was just about to come to an end. All of these things are against me. And there is Asaph in Psalm 73, verse 11. He is looking around him, saying that the wicked are prospering. You would expect the ungodly who blaspheme and who reject the truth, you would expect that they would be cut off in their wickedness, that they would be punished for their sin and their opposition to God. But look at them. They're getting on so well in life. And the psalmist says, and they say, he's speaking about God's people, verse 11, and they say, that is, God's children are saying, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? If this is going on, we know God is righteous, and there are the wicked, they are prospering. Is God looking at this? Does God know about this? Of course God does. God knows all things. But here is the practical unbelief of God's people. They are tempted to doubt in God's very omniscience, His all-knowing attribute. And then there is Psalm 77, where the psalmist is feeling rejected. My way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over from my God. And in verse 7, the psalmist says there in Psalm 77, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Can the Lord forget anything? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. And here we have in the second place the wonder of God's power. And the other attributes also, which all of God's attributes are employed for the benefit and the encouragement of God's people. Here we have in the second place the wonder of God's power. So there is God's people in a practical unbelief saying, my way is hid from the Lord. God is not looking upon me. He is not taking up my cause. My cause, my vindication is slipping away from me. There it is. It's out of sight. It's going away. But God reasons with his people. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Yes, you have. You have known it before. You have heard it before. What have you heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, and so on. But they should have recognized that this is the case. They should have known better than to question God's omniscience and his care for them. Here then, this reasoning of God to his people is to point out to them the folly of their unbelief. They had known from the beginning. God had taken care of his people right from the start when he led Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees and provided for him and his son Isaac and grandson Jacob. And then when the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt, in the house of bondage and slavery, he found him, God found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness after Israel was delivered from Egypt and carried through the wilderness. He led him out. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10. So they had known from the beginning that God never casts off his people. He cares for them. He kept his people as the apple of his eye, the part of the body that is most prone to injury and calls for that most careful protection, the eye, the pupil of the eye. And God kept his people all along as if it were the apple of his eye. So they had known. And they had heard. The prophets had taught the people of Israel right from the beginning. Moses was that prophet that instructed the children of Israel. He was the mouth of God to the people. And the people learned from him that God was omniscient and he cared for his people. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. And God's people today, their own experience has instructed them that he is a God of compassion. He leads them in difficult circumstances. He brings them through. He delivers them from it. They can look back to their experiences and see that. And they have all the precious promises of God's word to inform them and encourage them that God is a God who does not faint. He does not slumber. And there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. He is the everlasting God. Moses, the man of God, said, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He is the everlasting God. Verse 28. And if he is everlasting, what does that mean? What does that tell us? What do we learn from that? We don't learn about God's attributes merely because they are intellectually stimulating and we can expand our minds by thinking about God's perfections. Although But we learn about God's attributes in order to be a strength to God's people. And if God is from everlasting, God is eternally watching over His people. In Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 3, God says, "I, the Lord, do keep it." That is His vineyard, His church. "I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day." So while others are slumbering in their beds, God is keeping His people night and day. Then our text goes on to say that He is the Creator. The Creator of the ends of the earth. And what power is His to uphold His people? The fact that God creates heaven and earth clearly tells us that He has all power. Only a divine being has the power to create heaven and the earth, and therefore His power to His people is unlimited. In verse 12, we read, speaking about God, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance?" All the great mountain ranges, all the hills, all of these things, God, as it were, puts into a balance and weighs them. He is almighty. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. And therefore, He does not faint. He fainteth not. The Creator of the ends of the earth, can you think for a moment that He would lose His power? He fainteth not, neither is weary. This is a definite statement about the Most High. He never sleeps, and He is never weary, and it is impossible for Him to neglect His people. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15, where verse 14, Zion, or that is the church, that is God's people, they say, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Is that true? Can that be the case? Is it possible? The Lord again reasons with His people. Verse 15, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." You would never expect a mother to leave her little child behind, but in exceptional circumstances, when the mother is just about gone out of her mind or because of the power of sin and cruelty is coming to expression in those strange cases, that just might happen. It's unheard of just about, but it does happen at times. It's the height of cruelty. But will that happen with God? No, He looks upon His people as His own dear children. They may forget, the mothers may forget about their children, but it is impossible that God would forget His people. "Yet will I not forget thee." Well then, should this not encourage God's people, when they are despondent, to look to God who will never forget His people in whatever circumstances they find themselves? It doesn't stop there. We read about God's wisdom. There is no searching of His understanding. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding." God is all wise. He understands everything. And we are told that we can't search his understanding. Does that mean that we cannot know God? Of course not. We may know God. God reveals himself to us in his word. What he reveals we may know, we may understand, but can we comprehend it? That's the question. Can we take it all in? Can we take everything about God into our minds? Absolutely not. That is impossible. There is no searching. There is no thorough searching and finding out the very end of it all. There is no searching of his understanding. Canst thou find out God to perfection? No, God is incomprehensible. We can never fathom the depths of the divine knowledge. We are creatures. We are the works of God's hands. He created us, and we have therefore creature understanding. We don't have divine understanding. Only an infinite being can understand that which is infinite. There is no searching of his understanding. Now, you say, that's true. I have understood that a long time ago. How does this apply to me? How will this be an encouragement to me? Well, for one thing, it's telling us that God knows absolutely everything about us. He knows the very depths of our hearts. He made us. He knows us. He knows about us. He knows our feelings. He knows what we care about. He knows everything. And furthermore, while that itself can be an encouragement so that we are excluded from saying, my way is hid from the Lord, that is impossible. God knows everything. God further knows what is best for us. He knows all the circumstances that we are in. He knows all the possible circumstances we could possibly be found in. And he brings us through the various situations that we encounter. He has done it, and he knows about it, and therefore he knows what is best for us, and it is not for us to dictate to the Lord what we ought to encounter, what we ought to experience. He sees over the horizon. He knows what we will go through. There is no searching of his understanding. And we should leave the matter in his hands. Wisdom is from above. Wisdom comes from God. Yes, that he is able to give us wisdom and to bring us through our trials. We also have brought before us the goodness of God. God is eternal. God is the creator, all-powerful. He is all-wise, and he is good. He is good to all his creatures, and he is good to his people. And we read, he giveth power to the faint, or, as it is literally, giving power to the faint. This is what he does. He is good, giving power to the faint. And then here it's put more strongly, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. So the first part of verse 29 tells us a general truth in that form of giving to power to the faint. And then it goes further and it emphasizes it and says, to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. This is what God is in the practice of doing. He conveys power to those who are destitute of strength. What a forceful truth this is. What an encouragement is brought before us. It doesn't say that he gives power to those who have a little bit of strength. He doesn't say that those who recognize their duty and are doing it with all their might, he gives strength to them. Although he does, and we should be doing our utmost and putting it forth. But here's the truth brought before us. To those who are faint, he increases strength. To those who don't have any strength, he gives strength. That is the support for us. Here is that ring to the word, power. And we are told in Ephesians chapter 1 that it is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And it is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. Yes, we need to believe and receive it and not give in to unbelief. But here is the general truth. This is what God does. He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. It is the strength that is divine. It is a strength that is unlimited, that is boundless. It is the strength from God, who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? We have known it before. We have heard it before. We shouldn't reject what we know. We shouldn't reject what we hear. Let us receive it and lay it to heart. That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Well, what are we going to do with this truth that is proclaimed to us? Are we going to say, yes, I've heard it. I've heard it before. But now I'll just go on the way I've been going before. Or are we going to lay it to heart, receive it, make use of it? Because if we put it away from us, we remain faint. If we reject the truth, we go on in our weakness, with our hands hanging down and feeble, shaking knees. We need to lay hold of the truth. Let it sink in. Yes, we need to wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So let us go on in the third place to consider this waiting upon God with expectation. Waiting upon God with expectation. Verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What does this mean, wait upon the Lord? Sometimes when we hear the word, we think in the negative sense. We think, well, here's a storm. We have to sit it out. We just have to wait. Or there's a long line or a long queue before we can receive the benefit. Well, of course we can't get the benefit till we come to the end of the queue, and we come up to the front desk or whatever, and then we receive it. We just have to wait. We might have to wait a long time. But that's not the wait that is being spoken of here. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word wait the root of this word means to wait or to look for with eager expectation. That's the meaning of the word. It's really just the opposite of the other kind of wait we just tried to speak about. It's not we're coming to one who is busy and he looks at us, we have our need, and he looks at us and he says, stop, just wait, I'm busy. And I'll get to you when I'm ready. That's not the kind of wait. Here is a waiting upon God who is ready to help us even now. And it's sort of like the waiting of a waiter or a waitress. It's a waiting of servants who attend their master. And they're looking on. They're waiting with expectation, ready to answer him, for example, when he calls, because he just might call any moment. They're looking for any indications when he beckons to them to do a certain duty. It is that waiting with expectation. It is looking to God to help us in our need and waiting eagerly. as David says in Psalm 40, I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear his awaiting with expectation. At length to me he did my voice and cry, hear. So David is crying while he's waiting. And this is the kind of waiting that we are talking about that is being brought before us in God's word. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So obviously it's very closely connected with faith, trusting in the Lord, looking up to God, waiting with eager expectation, and includes a desire, of course, for that blessing that we need. It's no just waiting and maybe I'll get it and maybe I don't, and if I don't get it, it doesn't really mean that much to me anyway. That's not the kind of waiting. It's an eager expectation for the very thing that we need and want. So it is looking to God, and of course involves faith in Christ, because the blessings that we receive from God, the spiritual blessings that are included in salvation, come to us only in and through Christ, who said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The blessings, for instance, of being fed in our souls, are from Christ. We must go to God through Jesus. Children, you came into church this morning. How did you come in? Did you come through the window? No, you came through the door. You entered in by the door, and you need to come to God through the door, and the door is Jesus. I am the door, the Lord Jesus said. By me, if any man enter in, and that is coming to God, enter into the blessings from God, come into God through Christ Jesus. I am the door. So come to God through Jesus. And we come to God and receive these blessings in and through Christ. As we quoted already, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Waiting upon the Lord, who reveals himself to us in Christ. And when we think about the blessings coming to us in Christ, that's a wonderful thing, because we know that in Christ, the blessings are absolutely free, because it is Christ who has purchased them. It is Christ who has secured these blessings for his people by his own obedience and death. His own purchase, the payment he made for these blessings, is his sacrifice. He died on the cross of Calvary. He gave his life. This is the payment he gave to God's justice in order that he might secure and receive the blessings for his people. The blessings of upholding power, strength, and grace to help in time of need. Yes, we need to come to God in Christ. Come to God through the door. The door to these blessings is Christ. And waiting upon God for them. Plead the promises of renewing strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Here are wonderful truths, wonderful declarations, wonderful promises to be enjoyed by Christ. And all of the promises are yea and amen. They are all positive. They are all wonderful. So let it be for me. But they are yea and amen in Christ. And do you have access to these promises? Yes, you do. Every one of you do. In Christ. So come to him for them. Come to Christ for these promises. Everyone may benefit from these promises and from this particular promise by coming to God through Christ, resting upon the Savior, believing in Jesus, depending upon him for salvation and for all the grace and the strength you need. And then you will mount up with wings as eagles. You will run and not be weary, and you will walk and not faint. So we go on to consider the wings of God's grace to persevere. So we looked at, to back up just a moment, the weariness of God's people. Secondly, the wonder of God's power. Thirdly, the waiting upon God with expectation. And now fourthly, the wings of God's grace to persevere. So we go to verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It is strength and power that the child of God longs for. He or she has a desire to obey God. The believer wants to please God, wants to do his will. But the great question so often is, where do I get the strength to do it? Where's the power? I'm lacking in that strength that I need to do my duty. So the word power and strength rings in their minds. Well, what do you think about when you think about strength? What comes to your mind when you think of power? Maybe it's a camel in the desert with a great load on his back. What strength the camel has to go from one oasis to another in the desert without a single drink of water in between. Well, what about a horse? A mighty horse galloping into battle. And that's a picture of strength too. What comes to your mind? That the horse that is pulling the chariot into the fierceness of the battle. Well, then there's the picture of the soldier, the young man who is in the chariot, with strong arms pulling the bow and arrow and shooting into the enemy. Or maybe it's a shield in his arm or a spear. Well, here is a picture of strength. But we read that even the youths, the young men, they shall faint and be weary and utterly fall. It may be through overexertion. It may be because of the heat of the day and there's a heat stroke, or the young men might faint in battle because of the severity. But will this happen to God's people? Will they faint? No, not at all. Not when they are waiting upon God. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Even in the thickest trials, they will persevere. With the heaviest burdens lying upon them, they will be lifted, they will be strengthened. But those who don't wait upon the Lord, who are not looking to him with expectation, what can we say about them? Their self-confidence will lead to failure. Someone might say, well, I have some wit, I have some intellect, I have a little bit of physical stamina too, I can stay up late, I can rise up early, I can outwit my opponents. And there is a picture of a strong man trusting in his own strength like Goliath. But what brought down the giant was one shepherd boy who was trusting not in his own strength, but in God. And those who trust in their own strength, God will leave them to themselves. And sooner or later, they will find that their own capacity, their own physical stamina, their own intellectual wit or charm will utterly fail them, and they will faint and fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What a word that is. They will renew their strength. They feel their strength declining. They say, I need motivation. I need strength. I need my strength to come back, as it were. I feel the strength is ebbing away. It's drifting away from me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Or the main idea, perhaps, is as the word in the original is, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word renew, you can see it in the margin, may be translated change. Literally, the word is change. They that wait upon the Lord shall change strength. Do you want your strength to change? Someone says, no, I'm very healthy, I'm strong, I can think clearly, I don't want that to change. Well, you should want it to change if that's the strength you're trusting in. Those who wait upon the Lord shall change strength. In other words, that natural strength will give place to spiritual strength. And instead of trusting in their own strength, which they have a reservoir of, they will trust in God's strength and have a direct connection with the strength that God provides. They shall change strength from that natural strength, which is ebbing and flowing and is liable to drift away. They will change from that seeming strength to real strength from God Himself. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew or change strength from one strength to another, from that seeming strength to real strength. Well, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What does it mean, they shall mount up with wings as eagles? Well, is this not a very clear, impressive picture of the ease that one will have when strengthened by the Lord to overcome those difficulties? It seems that the eagle effortlessly rises above the mountains, carried and soaring high above all. And that is the way the Lord's people will be when they wait upon the Lord. They will rise, supported by God's grace. They will overcome the trials. Yes, it is through much tribulation that we will enter into the kingdom. The Savior says, be of good cheer. Almost as if rise like eagles above it all, knowing this, not that you're never going to encounter difficulty, not that you're never going to be confronted with an obstacle, but knowing this, I have overcome the world, and you will overcome the world. You will get through the temptation and trial looking to Jesus, supported by the wings of grace that He gives, its strength that He provides in your soul. You will be lifted up and carried through it all. And then we have, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. These words may lend themselves to various interpretations. No doubt one is the correct one, but speaking in very general terms, it is speaking about one's whole life. As some commentators have seemed to suggest, whether it is the early stage of life, when life is compared to running, the Lord will uphold His people in that stage of life, in their young days, in their middle age. And then when life is compared to walking, when they are not as vigorous physically as they used to be, and their days are compared to walking, then they will not faint. The Lord will uphold them in those days also, and they will still bring forth fruit, even in old age. Certainly it means in every condition, God will preserve his people. He will enable them to press on. Whether their attitude and actions and life is compared to running, they're busy, they're going from one duty to another, they have a whole list of things to do, so many duties to perform, they're running and running, and they will not be weary because they're waiting upon the Lord, not because they're not given a list of duties to do that are so easy, but they are waiting on the Lord, and in that period of time when they are running, they won't be weary. Or if they compare their experience to walking, they are walking in a long, long journey on and on and on. The temptation may be, I've gone 100 kilometers, I go another 100, 300 kilometers, surely I'll faint then. No, and they shall walk and not faint. So here is the encouragement of God's people. In every situation, every condition or attitude they find themselves in, then God will preserve them. They will press on. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will rise above the difficulties, strengthened by the Lord in the situation. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Well, how can we benefit from this part of God's Word, applying it for a moment more directly? You say, I am weak. You say, I feel my strength going from me in a spiritual way. Well, that is a good thing, to feel weak. But we do need to remind ourselves that that feeling of weakness is not going to do it for us. After all, it's not weakness we need. It is strength. We need power. The reason why a sense of weakness is good is not so we can all mourn over it and tell each other, we are so weak, we can't do anything. It is that sense of weakness is to impel us to go to the source of strength. It's to make us dependent upon Christ, who is our strength. And that is important for us to remember. When I am weak, then am I strong, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that is the source of strength. And go again to the promises. Yes, the sense of weakness is good, because if we don't have any inherent strength, we're not going to trust in any strength we don't have. So that is good. It makes us look outside ourselves to the strength that is available for us, the strength that is in Christ. So yes, cherish a sense of weakness, but remember that the weakness itself won't help us. We need strength. It's like conviction of sin. Yes, we all need to be convinced that we're sinners. We all need to know and feel that we are sinners. Why? Not just so we can say, I've had a great law work, I've been through great terrors in my soul. Great terrors in your soul will not save you. The conviction of sin is to bring you to Christ. It is Christ who saves, not our convictions. It is Christ who gives strength, not our weakness. The weakness sends us to Christ. The weakness will bring us to wait upon God, for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, everybody is weak in themselves, though they may not feel it. And everyone is going to go through some great hard trial, whether they think they will or not. Everybody goes through difficulties, and some worse than others. But what are we doing, friend, whoever you are, whatever your condition, what are you doing in your difficulties? I go to a support group, you say. Perhaps they can have their place, but can support groups give you internal strength? Can they give you that strength to overcome temptation? When you are met with Potiphar's wife, will that give you the strength to overcome? For example, whatever the temptation may be, you need divine strength. You need power that is not outside in this world, but is above you from heaven itself. So whatever your difficulty, whatever your hardship, ultimately you need Christ. Perhaps you don't feel much hardship at the moment. You're enjoying life. But friend, are you enjoying life without Christ? That's almost like a contradiction. To enjoy life without Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life? Christ said, I came that they might have life, implying that they don't have life without Him, and that they might have it more abundantly. So friend, you don't have a real life without Christ, and the life that you live without Him is a delusion. It's pursuing shadows, and it will terminate in hell. You need a Savior. You need Christ. And friend, if you think that, well, I'll come to Christ when I go through real trouble in my life, but for the moment you intend to live apart from Him in your daily life, do you think God will hear you? When you come to Him, when you're in all kinds of trouble, when you have been rejecting Him all the time before, would you expect God to hear you then, after you have been rejecting Him? He may do so. And it would be the height of His mercy to do so. But, friend, for you to presume upon that would be the height of folly and daring presumption. So come to Him now for help. Come to Him now for salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And pray now and earnestly. And don't wait for you to go home in your closet. Do it now in your pew. Do it now outside of church. Pray earnestly that God would have mercy upon your soul, that you would be saved from your sins. And wait upon Him. Don't wait it out. Wait upon Him. Look to Him with eager expectation, because He is the hearer of prayer, and He is waiting to be gracious. And you will know the power and the strength from God. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. May He bless His word. Let us pray.